Here's a space so powerful it allows an ordinary fan to share a cheer with the owner of a team, a platform where supporters understand intricate details of players' rights, a setting that bridges the gap between the dressing room and the grandstand, a space where tactics meet opinion, transfer news meet gossip, and the VAR system meets social media, a space for the football tribe. Le Coco. La Space.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are tuning into Le Coco La Space. We are about to have an interesting conversation. It is a Thursday. We are always gathered here on Thursdays where we discuss football matters. On the line, I do have a powerhouse of South African football. A person that has been in the league and owned a team and understands what needs to be done to run a team. The topic of discussion this evening will be the cost implicated in running a team, where we're going to find out exactly the details, what's needed, what are the hindrances, what are the challenges that one would be experiencing when you're running a team. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my guest is none other than Mam Riale Dwaba. What we're going to be discussing is purely based on what it is that entails on running the team. Please do remember to subscribe to our podcast. We are available on Apple Podcast. We are also available on Spotify. And we're also available on YouTube. Do search Le Coco La Space. Search on that. Subscribe. Then we carry on with the conversation. Let me take this moment and thank our sponsors, Hollywood Bet, for making this episode possible. And I do encourage you guys to check out their website and check out their podcast. Without wasting further time, let me take this moment and welcome Mamria. Mamria, welcome to the space.
Good evening, and good evening to all your listeners on all platforms.
You know, Mama, I've been wanting to have you and have a discussion with you. And before we carry on with this conversation, I would like to thank you for making time for us, because I've always felt that you're a hub of knowledge. You are a well that we can go to and try and tap into and find out exactly what needs to be done in terms of our football. So I do appreciate you taking every single moment for being here and availing us your time.
I'm always a servant of football, and I will remain a servant of football.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because it allows me now to try and find out, Hore, this servant, we know she's from Limpopo, but this servant, exactly, where did she start being a servant of football? Because Rona, we would know you from Real Stars, but there should be a story behind that, and we have to find out that story. It would be great injustice not to find out what happened before then.
Yeah, well, a decade of a journey, a decade of experience. It started when, I think it's from where I was born, with only boys that could only play soccer before me. So I've grown up seeing my brothers playing football in the street, not necessarily in a formal football structure, and that's where I started this passion of the love of football. You know, so it was indeed a journey where, at some point, I just got interested, where I saw young boys playing. You know, young boys will play for the whole day in a ground. So I decided to stop. And at that time, there was this Tepis Little League competition. It was a very popular competition then. And I asked them if they would want to be registered in that particular competition. And those young boys were very excited, under 10, under 12 boys. And that's how it started. It started from that time where two groups, young boys, registered them in the Chappies competition without playing a league. They were just playing in that competition, and they represented Limpopo in the national playoff.
Mm. And, you know, the story that you've given me, because you're talking about young boys, and this is something that seems to be a trend, and we'll get into it with Ria Stars when you eventually got there. But these young boys, were they not skeptical when you came and approached them? I mean, if you approach me and you're talking football things, I'm going to say, now, so we're not going to take it seriously. Did you not have that reception? Did you not have some sort of resistance from the parents?
No, I not at all. And you know, that's how mother play a role at home. You know, where sometimes when a mom says something, the children at home believes or this is. I went there with confidence. Mm-hmm. I didn't. They didn't see any doubt in me that this woman that. They might not have known they've seen this woman at the stadium, because I was always at the stadium when Naughty Boys play, when Stonebreakers play. I was always seen at the stadium. Probably those young boys, they've seen me in the stadium. So they said, no, but this woman, we've seen her somewhere in the stadium. She must be knowing exactly what she's talking about. Not a resistance whatsoever. It was just that one day, and I got a young boy who could just get the names of all the players, and that's where the competition started of Chappies, and we did very well to represent the province.
And Mama, at that time, I'm hearing you talking about young boys, you're talking about representing the province. Who's funding all of this?
Oh, that's why I'm still poor today. From my pocket, from the work. Remember, at that time I was working at Standard Bank.
Mm.
I was an employee of Standard Bank. So there was no money from anywhere else except the salary that I'm getting, that I would share with my family and share with those boys. And I would go around and not ask for money. I think that's what made me to succeed, is that I've never went to any partner or any, like, if I need a jersey, I will not go to someone and ask for money. I will go to a person and say, we need a playing kit for the boys, and this playing kit, you can pay this shop, we'll go and pick it up. I went to an owner of a taxi, industry. I said, we need soccer boots for the players. Mm. And he went to buy those, so he said, Rhea, give me the sizes. And we gave them the sizes. And that's how, without, you know, my money would be used for catering for them when they went to go and play their games, paying for the transport when they go and play the games. But in terms of the soccer balls, in terms of the playing kids, in terms of the equipment, I would go around to institutions that are selling those kind of equipment, and I will get those equipment. That's how I survived, in terms of just making sure that this team, at each and every game, there is something for the players to eat on the road, a drink, a fruit to eat before they have their game.
And I listened to your story, Mama, and it seems like you were going through some sort of a preparation phase for you to then transition into the big league. At what point did you think, hold on, maybe this is possible? Maybe it's beyond that Chappies little league. Maybe it's beyond just me thinking within my community. Maybe I can expand it. Maybe there's a prospect of it being bigger than I had imagined.
Yeah, well, let me say, it was not even my idea. Remember, there were five boys that were playing for this big team, Sishoko Naughty Boys.
Mm.
And they came to my house in the walk home to say, Mama, we are players of Naughty Boys, and in Naughty Boys, there are many talented players. and we find ourselves sitting either on the bench or at the grandstand. So we are asking you, there is this competition called Toyota Under 21. Mm. Can you please register us in that competition? And my question to them was, but the competition means you can be out in the first day. So what happens thereafter? Isn't it better that we look at registering you into a league where you're playing in a league on every weekend, and then there's a competition under 21 that you... Then at that time, the late Ruben Mohashwa was the president of SAFA Limpopo. Then I approached Ruben, and may his soul rest in peace. And Ruben said, the number of the quality of the players you are talking about do not deserve to start in the Smirnoff League. They must start in the Impala League, which was the second biggest league in South African Football Association. So that's how it started. I paid 450 rand to register the team, and we debated about the name. What do we call this team? And there were a number of names, Ria United, Ria Stars, and all that. But we finally, the six of us, decided that no, this team must be called. And they themselves said, by the way, Mamria, Rina, we are stars. We know that we are stars. So rather than United, let's call it Ria Stars Football Club. And that's how Ria Stars was registered in the Impala League. And that first year, the team played all their games, and they won all their games, and they won. The first year, we were promoted into the PSL.
And at that time, because you had mentioned the fact that in the Champions Little League, you were the team was basically being subsidized by your salary. Now, there's a huge difference now in subsidizing a Champions Little League and subsidizing what is then would be what we call the Motsepe Foundation League now.
Yeah.
Where's the money coming from, Mom?
Well, my late husband was working for Premium Meeting, and he was a rep. So he had an open buggy, a kumbi. So that kumbi, unfortunately, Premier Mill, my dear, is now, it doesn't really matter. That kumbi used to be our transport every weekend. So we would only pour petrol in that kumbi. And we'll still continue to pay food. Remember, you are registered with South African Football Association, in Paladik, you register, there is no income. There's never an income. That time, the income comes from you as the owner of the team. So again, I continue to use the same strategy of getting partners to partner with Ria Stars to be able to get it into. I remember I even had an account. You know, petrol is cash.
Yeah, yeah.
But I spoke to a filling station in town in Bulawayo, and the owner said, fine, as my contribution, I am going to open an account for you. So every Saturday or Sunday, we'd say you call petrol here, we'll put an account at the end of the month, you can pay us. That's how he contributed, because petrol, we know there's no account for petrol. But because of the manner in which we went around to get people to support this team, it was only possible that the little that we got in terms of our salary from my late husband and myself, we contributed towards the food, towards sometimes we would go further. You know, there was a trip to like 1,000 kilometers just to go to a club somewhere in the northwest, and you had no choice you to go there the same day, you have to sleep somewhere. Mm-hmm. Then you will have to also pay for that accommodation.
And how do you then negotiate accommodation fees? Because I think that would be the biggest expense outside of you then to traveling, ma'am.
Well, I would always look at where we are going to sleep, and I will get a community a leader in that village or that town, and I would engage with him and say, we're coming from this, where can we sleep? And then I will engage him to go and talk to them, and we'll always find a discount. You find that a room is 300 or 200 for two players, and we first can put at least three beds or four beds in a room where we have four players instead of two players. And those are the negotiations that we'll do, but making sure that the players don't sleep in one bed, but they sleep separately, comfortably, so that they can be able to win the game the following day.
And from listening to what you're telling me, Mama, the one thing, the one common thread that I'm picking up is, and also this goes back to that Chappie's little league team that you formed, there's a sense of belonging in the community. It seems like from all facets the community wants to be involved. Like, look at your players that you're talking about. They're telling you that they are stars. They're telling you that they are part of that community. I look at you having to go speak to a filling station and having an account. The community is involved. You know, the conversations that you will be having in running this team. Teams nowadays, we see them moving away from belonging to your community. How important would you say, and I'm taking it to right now in 2024, the buy-in of the community that you come from, how important would you say that is?
Very important, because the community is your support base. If you don't have a backup of a community, you are as good as no support. You know, and the community feel committed to a team, because one way or another you allow them to get involved. You give them the space to be able to add value, to be able to give input into the team. For example, you know, in Sisho, you had this team, the older people. For example, you will find that Naughty Boys has got older people. In fact, Naughty Boys, if I can give an example of that, it was like owned by the community, because they will contribute a certain amount, those old men, into a particular coffer where, when the team struggles with something, they are able to assist from that particular coffers, because they call them the elders of the team. So that's what we did with Riestas, where the supporters felt they are part. That's why even when Riestas ceased to exist, I still struggle today with people still accusing me, or you have let us down. You know, we thought we had something that we can be proud of, you know. And when we played in Tshio, everybody was proud, or this is it's our team. You know, it's not her team, it's our team. So we are able to own it. And that's very important for a team to always select. You know, that's why you have what we call a home ground. A home ground means you have supporters that don't have to travel by bus to come to where you play. You have supporters that walk into that stadium, that you know, I have a community of 1,000 people that will walk into the stadium to support the team. That's what it is all about.
And Mama, now you have this team that's playing in the big league. Fast forward, when I look at it in 2024, and I'm going to bring a case in point, Emroka Swallows, for example. There is what we call a stipend from the league. There is what we call an allowance that is coming from the league. It is rumored to be just over 2 million rand nowadays. How much are you getting from the league at that time?
Yeah. Yeah, that one is, we're getting 200,000 rand. And my overhead at that time was 400,000 rand. So it was over 400,000 rand, but what we were getting from the league as a grant was 200,000 rand. So you have to at least have a sponsor that gives you some kind of funding on a monthly basis. If you don't have a sponsor, you have to have gate-taking that will cover the difference between 400 and something and 200. Or rather, have the support with a membership card that will be paying for that membership card and the regalia that they would be paying to wear at the table. So those were the things that would make you to be able to survive at that stage.
And I do apologize for interjecting you, Mama. The gate takings, I want to focus on that because not a lot of owners in this day and age can confidently say, I had gate takings. I have gate takings that can cover me. We see a lot of people have, a lot of supporters have shunned away from going to watch the game in at stadium, and because that's attributed to different factors. Some could say maybe it's availability of games, some could on TV, some could say it's just, you know, availability of game on the internet, some is just loss of interest where now the audience is exposed to a lot of different things. Were you comfortably counting on gate takings? Because like you said, it was, your games were well attended, but did they make that much of a difference that you can count them as part of your income stream?
Not at all. It has never been to cover the difference between what I was getting from the TSL and what my over and against my overhead. It was never to cover that. And remember also, it depends on the day of your game, whether the big teams, Pirates, Chiefs, Sundowns are not playing. People watch that on TV, so they don't come to the game. The other disadvantage is that you play in Seshego, for example, and when you play in Seshego, you've got supporters in Makulering, in Tepnop, in Liwapo. They have to take 2 transports to come to Seshego. So if somebody does not have that kind of money, they don't come to the game. So there were a lot of challenges for you to be able to depend entirely on the gate takings. And your question of saying how important is a community where it's your home game, it's very critical that you have a relationship with the community where your game is playing and they understand, and you keep on giving them information, which for me, the radio station in Limpopo have assisted, and I really thank them, because for Real Stars to be known and to be able to share the information was through radio that time, because the newspapers were there, but who has the money to buy it? But they could listen to Kovela, they could listen to Mungana, they could listen to all other radio stations that were there. So they really assisted in helping the team to just share the information with the community out there.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Lekwakola Space. We are having a conversation with Mam Riyale Dwaba, a stalwart of South African football, a wealth of knowledge where we can tap in. We do thank you for taking your time and listening in. And do remember to subscribe onto our podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts. We're also available on Spotify. The Coca-Cola Space is what you should be searching for. And subscribe. Mam, I look at your team, and when I look at that team, you... the Real Stars, let me not even say Real Stars, Real Dwaba was able to attract Rodney Tobejani. She was able to attract Sydney Muchikaro. She was able to attract Lucky Lekwati. She was able to attract arguably the best player to have played in the PSL, that is Tsholofelo Teko Modise. At the point, Mom, were you aware?
Not forgetting Frank Magua, Thabang Lebetsi, Sam Pam, you know, those were the players that came to play Chaklas, you know, Aben Shongwe. So we did attract a lot of players because the team was run professionally. You know, it was not run, we had a proper structure. We had a board, we had an office where we did not pay any rental for that office because we had a relationship with a law firm. We went to a law firm, can you be our legal representative and can you offer us your office as well? Of course, there is an office for you. So we ran the team like a professional team. You know, we didn't run the team from the boot of the park. You know, because at that time, most of the teams in the first division, I'm not talking about the Premier League, in the first division, they did not have offices. They ran their team from the foot of their park. And as I say, it's how we navigated in terms of getting partners to partner with us and see the value of actually partnering with us.
We often hear excuses coming from supporters, all corners of South Africa, where it's easier to say such and such a team has money, they're able to attract big players. Such and such a team has money, we're not able to attract those players. That's why we're not able to compete. How were you able, Mama, to attract a Sam Pam that had played at Orlando Pirates? How are you able to attract a Frank Magua that has played at Kaizer Chiefs? How are you able to get these big name players? Are you paying the big salaries? Where is your negotiating power? What leverage are you having over these players to say, I'm enticing you to come and be here? Not only move from Gauteng, because you're getting these players that have been in Gauteng, and it's very hard to move any player from Gauteng and get them to another province. What is your magic trick, ma'am?
Well, there were a number of things. The one thing that I've mentioned already is the professional way of running a team where the players have got a proper accommodation where when they come, they know they have an accommodation, a proper accommodation where they can sleep. They wear, you know, what they wear. Remember, we're sponsored by Baba, you know, and they were wearing like a professional team. So besides all that, we paid our players well. We really paid our players with the value that they brought into the team is the value that we gave them. That is why most of the players were able to buy their houses, they were able to buy their first cars with us, because we bring professionals like the from the bank. My banker will come with their professionals to come and educate my players how to secure their investment, because football is not a long-term employment. You can break your leg today, you are out of football and you have got nothing. So we tried to be a family that showed the players that they are first things first. You know, have a roof over your head before you buy a car. You know, a car you can buy later because you don't need that car for going to work, because we transport you to work, we feed you to go to work, and you can use your salary to put a roof over your head first. So our players were taken into this kind of motivation, in this kind of empowerment, where they would have a banker talking to them, where they will have a civil person in the community to talk to them about the professionalism. What is it that is expected of a player? And I'm not surprised that if you look at the players that come from GSTAR, they still survive, some of them, even when they are out of football. You look at Lopati, how long he has not been playing for Pirates. Look at him. he still survives, but it's the teaching that he has learned when he was with GSR. They can survive because they've been taught thoroughly that these are the things that when you have money, you can invest it in this manner and that manner. So I'm proud as an owner of a team that I could look back and look at the players that I see today, who they have become. You know, when I watch Butiko, presenting on TV, and think that he came to Riestas when he was 14 years old, and to look at him so confidently analyzing the game, I sit at home and I marvel to see them doing something like that. I mean, Konza, and may his soul rest in peace. You know, one of the disciplined player that has never been in any kind of standard, passionate about the play, you know. And when I looked at him presenting, you know, on SABC, felt like, yeah, there is something that I did for football in this country.
Mama, I'm interested in the story of you acquiring a 14-year-old Deko. How did that happen?
Well, we had a scout in Soweto, and Chico played a role there because Chico would take the scout and go to different trials or different areas where young boys are playing, and that's where Chico was identified. And I remember vividly the late Brassiles was the coach then, and he kept on saying, this boy is going to play for the national team and he's going to go. But I'm just surprised that he never actually went to play overseas, and I can still wonder why. Because I can tell you, Styles was one of the most experienced coach that Riestas ever had. Most qualified in South Africa. And he was very particular with Riestas to say, I do not care about the name. I want a talented player that will be able to groom and he will play for the national team. And I wasn't surprised at that time that five players were called to the national team. Simpio was one of them. Pabejani was one of them. Papelo Diao was one of them. Saul Molapo was one of the people that. Those five players that were called. And Brassiles was very angry when we received that letter from South African Football Association that these five players are called for the national team. And Brassiles says, but the coach of the national team, it's very disrespectful. I am the coach of Riestas. Doesn't he think it is important just to pick up a call and say, Brassiles, I am looking at these five players. What do you think? What if these players are all injured? But you just get a letter from South African Football Association that these five players, he was happy for them to be called. But the manner in which they are called, the coaches of the national team, they think they can do these things all by themselves. These players come from me, they are with me on a daily basis. I can be able to tell him, this player won, this is their strength, this is their weakness, this is their... So that even when you place them there, you know exactly where you are playing them. But he was very happy for them to be selected to come and play for the national team. I think that's also what attracted a lot of players to say, if five players from one team can be called at once to come and play for the national team, there's something that this team is doing right.
Definitely, Mama. And also considering the fact that this team is not considered as one of those top three teams. So there was something that you're doing right. Now on that topic, Mama, you've mentioned the array of stars. You've mentioned these big name players that you have.
Yeah.
When it came to you having to make that decision to say the team is going, it has to go, the status has to go, I have to sell it to the league. Who
well,
did you have to consult?
Another sacrifice. Remember, the league were 18 teams then. And I already mentioned the fact that my team is over 400 something overhead. The league at that time, there was a time where we'd get a letter from the league to say, unfortunately, you are not going to renew your plans. Just imagine, what are you going to do? I have to come and call the players and say, guys, we have an issue. We'll see how we're going to come around. Then probably Chico will make a plan to say, no, let's make sure, because there was never a time where we never played our players, even when we did not receive our grant. But remember, we also had a Lenko
sponsor. Yes.
You know, yes, we had a Lenko sponsor at that time. So at least we were able to pay our players at that time. So those are the issues that really, when it was only for one season. Remember, Lenko is an owner. It's a jewelry shop owned by an individual. It's not a big institute. You know, I think he was just attracted by this blonde woman with this musician, and he decided, no, I'm going to sponsor them. You know, the presentation also that we made, but he could only do it for 1 year. So when we did not have a sponsor the next year, there was an issue, because we said, are we going to allow ourselves to be as relegated at some point? Because if you don't play the players, they go and play a game and they are very unhappy. They've got debit orders, they've got cars to pay. If you don't pay them, then it affects their lives too. So the game that they are playing when they're not paid, it's going to be a game that we are going to lose for sure. So we looked at that, and when there was a request by the chairman of the league to say, look guys, if we have to have a lucrative league in this country, we have to reduce the team. So we are giving an opportunity for teams. And obviously the chairman knew that there are teams that are struggling. Every now and again we'll go and ask for an advance from the league. So you know that if you are a level-headed business person, you must look at your status and be able to say, am I going to survive another year with the status of my financial background? And that's when we sat down with Chico and we said, is it worth it to allow the team that has done extremely well? Remember, I'm talking extremely well from the under 10. Under 12, that's where we come from. I'm not talking about when we're in the Premier League. That's the value that we have brought into football from that time until those players, all those players that we took through our lives as the players that are playing all over the show. And we decided by then the best thing for us not to be in the history of football that we were ever relegated is to take the status back to the league. And that's what we did. And Free State Stars, may his soul rest in peace, Ntate Mokoena, also decided, I'm struggling. He was one of the team that would always go and ask for advance and all that. And that's the reason why. It was a very painful decision, I must say. I still regret it even today. I wish I could have done better. And I would say, even the Premier, I approached the Premier of the province. I went to the Premier of the province, and I've asked him, is there anything we can do to save this team, not to be given the status to the league. Unfortunately, he couldn't assist us with any solution to be able to save the team. If I could have saved the team, I'm sure that team, it was like saving your own child. It was like giving your own child away. So I never slept for quite a long time. I would wake up at 1 o'clock and say, my God, what did I do? You know, but unfortunately, the situation was very strenuous. You have to struggle every month to pay your players, take your salary, pledge, make sure that the team does not fail to honor the game. It was a very difficult exercise, a very difficult journey. But the contribution that was made by this team from 1989 to 2002, I do not regret that I've spent every money that I've ever had to make sure that I catered for the players. And you have never had a player saying I was never paid my salary or I did not have a place to sleep. Some of the players slept at my house. That's the sacrifice that I've made in football in this country.
And Mama, if with the benefit of hindsight now, it's been many years that the team has been sold, the dust has settled, emotions are down. If I were to ask and say, if we were to have an honest conversation, we take all the stakeholders, we take the fans, we take the players, we take the owners, we can even include the government of the province, and say, who in your opinion, Mamria, would you say you have failed the most by selling the team?
The supporters. Definitely the supporters. I cannot walk to a mall up to today where I'm not stopped by a supporter to say, Mamria, can you bring a team again? Can you do us a favor? Can you bring a team again? Because I think I'm very open to that. Honestly, I felt I let down the supporters. Those supporters and they depended, you know, they were enjoying the style of play that VS has played. They were enjoying having conversation with those players that, you know, like the players that came from these big teams that were in Johannesburg that they never thought they can touch them, they can sit with them, they can have a drink with them. Yes, the first disappointment for me was the supporter. The second was the people that sold at the stadium. Remember, they were feeding. There were people that were selling at the stadium to feed their family, and that was taken away from them. As soon as the team was no more, they did not have any impact at all. So those are the players. Of course, you know, we made a point that all the players of Riestas were able to be given, not necessarily given, were negotiated with other teams. So almost 99% of our players were placed with other teams.
Are we likely to see Mamria giving it another shot? Is there that urge somewhere in the back of your mind to say, let me try one more time, let me give it another dance, let me buy, or let me try and bring another team into the PSL?
You know, once fanatic, you'll remain that football is in my blood. You can't take that away from me. I'm doing other things. You know that I'm doing other things. But this football, it's in my blood. You know, and I wouldn't say that will never happen. if I have an opportunity, I will definitely do it again. If I have an opportunity, I will do it again, because I know the supporters of this country, the passion they have for this game, it's indescribable. Mm. It's something that they, some supporters, they might not even have anything to put on the table for their families. Look at Botha. Mm. Look at how he travels from one game to another. You look at that man only, and you look at the passion, you know, passion of someone who would travel. He doesn't have a car. He travels. I saw him again at the Spiwam concert funeral, and he said, "Family, I am going to travel back to Bloemfontein." Just coming to honor a legend that has played so much in this football, and a player that I called my son, a player that played, that added value into the game of football in this country.
Mama, do you, and this is a question that I've always wanted to ask you, because a lot of people have been critical about this, a lot of people have had their opinion about this. The buying of statuses of team, are you pro or against as an individual?
I would never buy a team. I would never do that. And I always advise people when they want to buy status, and they call me and ask me. And I said, you know, if you take a 30 million rand and you buy a status of PSL and you get relegated the same year, you have lost 30,000 rand. But if you take that 30,000 rand and you start a team in the ABC Motsepe League, for example, and you have a team in the ABC Motsepe, bring that team into the first division, and then bring that team, you would spend less than what you have spent when you buy the status of a Premier League team. That's my personal view, that I would never do that. I would never buy a status. I would rather take it, start a team, register a team in the SAFA structures in the region, and take that team over, because that also contributes to the standard of raising those talent in that day. I always say I would love to see sponsors that take a team from that regional league and promote it to the APC Motsepe, promote it to first division, and take it. I would still want to see a company in this country that could do that, rather than just sponsoring the teams that are up there. Look at the teams that are below there, even in the PSL. Do they have those kind of sponsors? No, they don't. They do not have those kind of sponsors. So you would be doing something, you know, just uprooting those talent from grassroots and taking them there. And I think that's what Riyadh did. We traveled the journey of football from the beginning to the end. We didn't take it from the middle or take it up there. We went all the way, and using our own family money to be able to do that. We have not got sponsors at that time. We played with no sponsors. We had no income. What you paid, what you didn't get it back. I'm still poor today, because I think all my money went to the development of football in this country.
We are truly grateful for what it is that you've done for. We take comfort in the fact that you are poor, but you've given us something that makes us richer. I don't know if I'm making sense, Mom. So what I wanted to find out, Mama, you've been in all spectrums of the game. So if there's one person I can say she has completed football, that would be you. You've been on the side of owning a team, you've been on the side of running a football team. And often you get supporters that are disgruntled to say, if there was a better cohesion within supporters, the custodians of football in the country, the league, we would then be able to elevate the standard of our football. Where do you think we can improve? Where do you think we're getting it right? And I'm talking about from being somebody that has run football and somebody that has depended on people that run football for survival.
Yeah, I think if you look at our football in the Premier League, we have a well-run league. We have seen good players coming out of there, but I still would want to see what I've seen, for example, on Saturday when I was at the game of Pirates and Chiefs, where the stadium was full, and for each and every game, not only for the big teams there. And I think my view is that the supporters of this country are not considered. You know, and I'll give a practical example. If you look at the supporters, they come, especially when you have a game like Saturday, Pirates and Chiefs, and there are 5 goals. That's what supporters want. They don't come to the game to see a 0-0 or a 1-1. They want to see the goals. They want to see those beautiful goals that we saw on Saturday. But what is football doing with the supporters? What are the supporters benefiting out of football that they love so much? And football be able to speak to Santiago, for example, the taxi industry, and say, taxi industry, come to the party. Come to the party. We have supporters. We have supporters that will want it. I'm talking about the organization. I know the staffs have got their own rewards for their supporters and all that. Maybe you are a supporter, you go to check us because you have got a Kaiser Chiefs card or a Pirates card, then you get a reward. I'm talking about the organization itself to say, how can you not have the taxi industry as part of football? Mm. And say to them, the supporters, can we get, if you charge your normal client every day 10 rand a kilometer, you charge them on that basis, can we have a 5 rand because you are bringing supporters to the game? Mm. Then we would be avoiding the crowd, the traffic that you saw every one person coming with a car, because we can use those taxis to go to the stadium, and it's better logistical transport to the stadium, and the supporters benefit out of that kind of thing. So the supporters need to be taken, because now I believe the supporters in this country have got the power. They've got the power. They might not know the power they have. Because if the supporters are not as the stadium, who plays in an empty stadium and behave? The supporters want, the players want to be seen, supporters filling the stadium. That's the game you saw on Saturday. Because the players feel like we are watched. So that's the power that the supporters of this country have, you know, in the football, and they must have their weight. They must have a way of contributing. They must also be given an opportunity to also make an input into the running of football in this country. You know, just like the legend that I talk about every time. Mm. Or how many legends of football do we have in this country, and how many of them are participating in the structures of football? Those are the things that you need to change and make sure that the supporters feel important, that they are an important structure that are considered to be able to come to the stadium. And you will see them coming to the stadium because they love the game.
I love how you speak for the supporters, because I am a supporter, and if there's one thing that I've always maintained is that I'll remain a supporter of the game until the day I depart from this earth. So for a supporter that's worried, that's concerned, that's saying, here's a person that speaks for, that speaks on our behalf, here's a person that thinks in terms of implementing strategies and structures, they do it on our behalf. Can supporters be worried? Can they be worried about Mamria? Is Mamria still going to be there for that supporter? Can Mamria be actively involved for the supporters? Are we still going to see Mamria
active? Yes, 100%. Remember, I do have the Riyadh Global Foundation. That has done, contributed hugely, you know, to regions in their participation in competition, uprooting young, talented players in the rural area. I'm not interested in the township. I'm interested in a rural in Bochum where nobody goes there, where no coaches go there, and there's a young boy under 12 that is playing there and having all the kind of trophies from the school. I'm interested in that, you know. So I will still be able to contribute in football in my Riyadh Global Foundation. That's what I'm doing. I've been doing that. I every day, Lekoko, I'm faced with requests for a mere soccer ball. Mamria, can you please assist us with soccer ball? Soccer ball. And I'm saying, football is about soccer ball. If the team does not have a soccer ball, what are we talking about? In 2022, I bought 3,000 soccer balls with my own money from the foundation. And I've distributed those soccer balls to a lot of regions, to a lot of clubs, you know, that requested those. I still get that request on a daily basis, that people are looking for someone that can just assist them in terms of just making sure I have a player, doesn't have a parent, is staying with his grandmother, is a good soccer player, doesn't have soccer ball. He doesn't have, you know, just a plain kid that he can go and practice. Those are the things. I've touched a number of people, even the legends that would want to go for coaching, for courses that would cost them 5,000 rand. Where would a legend get 5,000 rand to pay for a coaching course? Paying for all those things, paying for people to go and attend a particular course. Many of those players that would come and say, Mamria, can you assist? I want to attend to this, and I've been able to do that through the foundation, and I'll continue to do that. And I'm happy that I'm having partners that are very critical. It's not only in sports. I'm also assisting some of the schools that would not have furniture. So, you know, the children would not have a chair to sit. And I would buy furniture for that particular at school desk that they would not have. You know, they would sit on a plastic chair, but I would give them a proper desk where a child sit alone in a desk and have comfort. So those are the things that my foundation is continuously assisting. You know, continuously making sure I've identified some schools which offer. I identify the school will give me a number of orphans, and I will give those number of orphans school uniform and take care of the child that has never seen a toothbrush or didn't even know what a toothbrush is. I'll make sure that particular child orphan know how, what is the toothbrush, what is the washing rag. So those are the things that the foundation will continue to do, and not only alone, the foundation will do that with partnership, and I'm having a number of partnerships that are even coming on board to say, Mamria, we see what you are doing, can we be able to assist? Given a number of blankets, thousands and thousands of blankets to churches, to disability schools, to the civil organizations, to the NGOs, to the churches, you know, giving them old people that would never have the blanket to that they don't have. And I will make sure, and that was done through a program that I ran with the civil society, and go to the civil society and say, guys, I want to give 1,000 blankets this year to the organization. And South Africans, they understand where there is value and they will contribute. Where I say I will buy 1,000 blankets, I find myself buying 2,000 blankets because South Africans have contributed towards that noble cause.
And Mama, unfortunately, that now brings us to the end of our time. I have to let you go. This is the time that you've granted us. But I would have done great injustice if I let you go without asking you this question. That do you feel that there's more that you could have done from a personal space in terms of women football?
A lot. Remember the league that is running. I went through the country. And for the very first time in the history of football, that the teams out there saw a vice president of South African Football Association coming to them, ask them, is this what you want? This is the options. Choose the options that you want to see with this national league that we are starting. And it was not our decision. It was the decision of the team, and they were very grateful to say, for the first time in the history of football, we are able to contribute to our own journey that we were going to have a national league. So I would have done better, and I think I would have got more partners to partner so that those teams are getting better grants than what they are getting now. And we must be grateful to companies like Hollywood that have come on board to be able to assist fund the National League of Women. But there is much more that could be done in terms of the sponsor, even for Banyana. I think there's much that if we had an opportunity to go out there and sell Banyana, they would be more funded than Bafana.
Mm. Mama, thank you very much for giving us your time. We appreciate that. I know you're a very busy person, and I do appreciate you taking your time and just sharing this knowledge with us, just giving us insight in terms of where you're going. And I wish you everything of the best in the future, Mama. And yeah, we know that in you we have a mouthpiece for the supporters, and we have a mouthpiece for people that love the game. And there's always something that you're going to be giving back into the game, and we are grateful for that.
Thank you, Lukoko. I'll remain a true servant of football in this country.
Thanks, Mama. That is Mom Riale Dwaba, former owner of Ria Stars. We do thank you for taking your time and listening in. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast, Lekokola Space, on Apple Podcasts. We're also available on Spotify. Conversations like this we're going to be had. Next week, Sundown supporters, Champions League. Be on the lookout. You've been having a lot of conversations, and we put our ear on the ground, and we'll get you the relevant people. Remember to treat the people that you love right. I love you all. Cheers.